Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
One.
Two-man car. Jesus 911. My name is Jess Romero, Ruben Nava. I am back. I'm like Lazarus raised from the dead. Ruben, it's good to be back. I'm 10-8.
Good to hear from you, Jess. I'm glad that you are back. Man, that's no joke, I guess.
No, Ruben, that Wuhan communist virus is wicked. It's vicious. These communists knew exactly what they're doing. Put me down on my back for almost 2 weeks. I mean, you just need to rest. The body is completely depleted of any energy and stuff. I'm back. I started taking some of the non-conventional medication.
Oh, good.
That you can't get from the regular doctor or healthcare facility. So that stuff good. Works.
Yeah, I talked about the vaccine on the alternatives on Thursday.
I heard the show was a great show.
So, yeah, hopefully more people are listening and they're going out. I just talked to a friend yesterday. His wife just tested positive, and she's already on board with the frontline doctors, and she's got ivermectin.
That's exactly what you've got to do. Call them up immediately.
Yeah, good. Well, so there's, there's other countries are doing the same thing. I mentioned Japan. They're introducing that in there because it's been successful in India.
Yeah, and guess what? They have no problem with controlling the people that have the virus because they're already taking it prophylactically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Ruben, let me just mention something before we get into the show today. That September is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows. In the Catholic Church, every month is dedicated to some different aspect of Catholic life. And in the month of September, we remember Our Lady's suffering and her broken heart as she watched her innocent son, our Savior, ridiculed and mocked and put to death unjustly. So let's remember whenever you feel, sad or despondent or you want to fall into despair, look to the Blessed Virgin Mary as our model on how to unite our suffering to Christ and the cross. And also, if you've never done it before, hey, in the month of September, try and pray. You could even, instead of doing the Holy Rosary this month, for the month of September, just a suggestion. Here's what I'm doing. Pray the Seven Sorrows of Mary, or it's called the Dolor Rosary. Pray for the entire month of September in honor of Our Lady of Sorrows. Ruben?
All right. How about we just add that to our arsenal?
Oh, we could do that. Yeah. That's that. We could. Amen. Just add another clip.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Jesse, there's a young conservative that's, I think he's living in your part of the country.
Yeah, I've met him. I've met him a few times. I've been to his facility. It's called Turning Point USA. Yes. I gave him my book on Trump. We've had long conversations. He's a Protestant young man of goodwill, and he's definitely in the fight with us.
Oh, man, he's good. I've heard him speak in person twice, and he's a sharp kid.
Oh, gosh.
I like what he's doing out in the campuses of the colleges across the country.
Yeah, it's a counter-revolution what he's doing amongst the college kids, and that's what we need, by the way.
Yeah. So he went to a school board and he just fired on them. He just laid into them about what they're trying to do to our children, masking them up, and it's just it's unconscionable. And so you want to start with the clip? You want to play that?
So this is Charlie Kirk, who confronts the Arizona school board over their illegal masks mandate. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip? You should be hearing. We don't hear nothing yet.
Scottsdale. Kind of feels like I'm living in San Francisco because of all of you and your self-righteous measures that you're putting to abuse the children of this wonderful state. I'm gonna have children here one day, and I sure hope people like you aren't in charge. You are defying Arizona law and measures to mask children, even though there is zero evidence to show that children are at a significant risk of catching or dying from the Chinese coronavirus. In fact, children who drive to school are at a much larger risk of dying on the way to school than from COVID-19, according to the CDC. The CDC's research says the following. Children 5 to 14 years old have a 0.2 chance of dying from COVID. Yet from all deaths, suicide is 1.5. Homicide, 0.7. Cardiovascular disease, 0.6. Drowning, 0.5. Flu and pneumonia, 0.3. Suffocation and COVID are the exact same measure. Yet this district has decided to go in their own direction against the will of the taxpayers of this area and want to mask children. We know what masking children does. This has a serious mental health toll on young people, the inability to communicate, the inability to even hear what teachers are saying. In fact, masking makes people unfamiliar with each other. It makes you less likely to be able to empathize with another person. God gave us a face for a reason. Dr. Macri wrote a piece in which he studied 48,000 cases of children under 18 reported to have COVID between April and August of last year. How many children died? He said, quote, "Our report found a mortality rate of zero among children without a pre-existing medical condition such as leukemia." So why the mask craziness? There was a 22.3% spike in ER trips for potential suicides by children aged 12 to 17 in summer 2020 compared to 2019, according to findings published in the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. And we know there's a direct link between children not being able to empathize with their peers and their parents and mental health issues. This district has decided to go in its own direction against the will of the voters and the legislature here in Arizona, not to mention the social emotional learning guideline that you mistakenly sent out to parents in this district, the consultant group that you passed into law here, and the violation of the Open Meetings Act, which, by the way, I hope the Attorney General of this state acts with criminal intent against this school district for breaking the law and passing a curriculum without allowing parent input. In closing, I'm going to say this. Your time is soon up. The people of this state and this school district are rising up. There are recall measures in place. You have awoke a sleeping giant. I hope you enjoy your masked short-term future here while it still lasts. Thank you.
Outstanding.
Wow.
This is what, you know what? This is what's happening all over the country with parents. I mean, Charlie Kirk got name recognition, but I've seen videos like this, Ruben, where you have, you know, just parents of goodwill that are going to their school board meetings and they're giving speeches similar to this.
Yeah.
People are standing up. I mean, Charlie Kirk just happens to be, he has more recognition than most people, but people are fed up with it because they know, Ruben, that the mask wearing is nothing but a hoax. We all know it.
Yeah.
It's a Marxist tactic. It's not about a virus. It's not about a virus. It's about control.
Yep.
This has nothing to do with medical, as Charlie Kirk just clearly laid it out. This is political. And this scaredemic is going to go down in history as the greatest embarrassing fiasco of all time, in my opinion, when the history books are written.
Yep. Just and just like what Charlie's doing and other parents are doing, we need to get into the fight. You know, there's no time to just stand back and, you know, be observer. Just no. They've got to find ways to get involved because it's unacceptable. And you know, you're going to have grandkids in school real soon, and you know, eventually.
I already have them now.
Oh, are they already?
Yep, yep.
Oh, you're getting old, dude.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so what's the future look like for our children if they've got to be masked up? And you heard the stats, you know, a lot of kids are contemplating suicide. You know, it's uncalled for that these kids have almost a zero chance of dying from this virus. And, you know, one of the strongest unions in the country is the teachers union. And,
yes.
And so we need to hammer them because they're the ones who are pushing this. You know, they want to sit at home and collect paychecks without
the
doing any work.
The teachers mafia.
Yeah.
Yeah. The teachers union is really the teachers mafia. Ruben, yeah. Charlie said something here that I just want to kind of develop a little bit because we are a Catholic program, Catholic podcasters that are retired law enforcement. He said that, you know, that we're made in the image and likeness of God. And you know, that's why God gave us a face, you know. And he said something I want to develop. The Bible tells us that in heaven, we will see God face to face. In other words, the saints don't have a mask on, and God doesn't have a mask on. The most incredible experience that a human person will have with God forever, we call it the beatific vision. I don't think there's any words to even describe it.
Right.
But at least we know that St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 and following, that there will be a face-to-face relationship with God forever. And Reuben, this is important. I mean, I'm going to just be honest with you. I've been married close to 40 years. When I saw her 40 years ago, just about, and I saw her face, that's the first thing, Reuben, where I said, ah, I like what I see. When you fall in love, the first thing, first glance, first impressions, it's the face, Reuben. That's what attracts you to the person. And the fact is, even right now amongst strangers, the nicest thing you can do to somebody walking down the street, pumping gas, or going to the market is smiling upon somebody.
Right.
But these Marxist overlords are not allowing us to do this.
That's right. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Jess. And we got to go out there and make people just love on people and pay them compliments, uplift
Amen.
Them. Yeah. People.
Hey, up next, you're going to hear from an incredible Orthodox priest talking about the scaredemic.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Two-man car. I got my partner back, Jesse Romero. He's in the house and reporting for duty.
Amen.
Just a quick note. The school we have been promoting, the Good Shepherd Academy, they found a home.
Praise the Lord.
They found a home, and it's going to be at Guasti, at San Segundo, at least for the first year. So
wow.
They put them up there, and that's a win. You've got the priest there, the mass, and
it's a win-win situation for everybody.
That's right. Especially the children, the children that are ready to get started, and they open. I guess this Wednesday, it's open for business. So kudos to them. And anyway, Jess, we're going to be hearing from an Assyrian bishop. His name is Marmar Emmanuel. He's from the Good Shepherd Church. Huh? How ironic! From Wakeley, Sydney. Sydney, Australia, if we think that we're having draconian measures here, we haven't seen anything till we've been to Australia. They're ripping people off and hauling them off to jail for not wearing a mask or not getting vaccinated. It's
You're right, Reuben. For as bad as we think it may be here, in many other places, like you said, in Australia and parts of Europe, it's much worse. It's complete. I mean, it's communism at this point.
Yeah.
But this Assyrian bishop, he's going to make a speech. We're going to let you hear his short homily. And he's talking about the exaggerated COVID-19 lockdowns in New South Wales and the rest of Australia. His name is Marmari Emmanuel. He's a bishop of the Good Shepherd Church out in Wakeley, Sydney. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
If you think you are a Christian politician and you know very well what is happening is nothing but deliberate evil action by the secret societies. Yet, you are going ahead with it, and you are endorsing it, and you are implementing it, and you are forcing it. You are bringing more force, police force, army, to make sure that these areas adhere to the lockdowns, then you are a traitor and you are Judas Iscariot, because you've sold your master Jesus. You've sold him. And if you think that in the position that you are occupying, you cannot do anything because there are so much force that is forcing you to do what you need to do, and you look around and you say, I can't change nothing, I can't stop nothing, I will accept that you are a true Christian if you resign from that position. The day that comes, a human being enslaves another human being for his own personal selfish intentions and benefits, that day does not exist in the eyes of the Almighty God. Does not exist. Selfish leaders, selfish generation, selfish 21st century, selfish, you will destroy yourself by yourself. What does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world, yet at the end loses himself? Who? So what, you're a prime minister? So what, you're a president? So what, you're a king? So what, you're a church leader? Stop enslaving people. And enough lies. Enough lockdowns. This is slavery. And enough so-called corona. It can be treated quite easily with proven medications. Let Bill Gates jab himself with it. Let George Soros jab himself with it. Enough stupidity. Enough. Shame on such generation. Shame. Is there still conscience living in people? Is there? Is there somebody that has a conscience, or have you all killed it? I want the Prime Minister and the Premier of New South Wales to hear this. This is a message to both of you. There are families calling me, so stressed, so sad. They are concerned, but they have no choice because their employer says, if you do not get the jab, you cannot go back to your work. You will lose your job. They are afraid of losing their job because this is the only way to make their family live and survive. Are you heartless? Are you human? So they don't want to take the jab. But they have no choice. If they don't take it, the employer will sack him. Listen, if any human being wishes to take that jab, so be it. But do not force it on people. Governments were put on earth by God, Jesus Christ, in order to protect and preserve my rights, not to impose evil actions against me. In the name of, we are concerned about your safety. Listen, don't be. I'm happy the way I am. Can you please leave me alone? Go and live your life and let me live my life the way Jesus wants me to live it. Stop forcing people to take vaccination because of safety measures. Get a life. Is there anyone among you to be a man to stand up and speak the truth, even if it takes them to be kicked out? Is there? Are you all? Has money blinded you?
No.
Okay, we'll just pick it up from here. It's maybe the recording's, there's probably something wrong with the recording. Nonetheless, Ruben, this is why we need the Eastern Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox. We need a reunification so that both lungs come together in the Catholic Church.
When you choose to be the older brother, not the younger one, woe unto you.
I think that's it. Yeah. I don't know about you, Ruben, but this bishop, he's an Assyrian bishop from the Orthodox Church. He sounds to me like a lion breathing fire. I would have just imagined being around in the days of, St. John Chrysostom, St. Athanasius, and maybe seeing the Arian heresy. This is the type of apostolic zeal that you would hear. And this is why, once again, the devil knew exactly what he was doing when he caused the East-West schism, because he took a strong part and a large part of Catholic Christianity, away from us and he separated us and we've been divided for 1,000 years because there are good men like this found amongst the Orthodox churches. And once again, obviously, there's good men also found in the Catholic churches. We need to reunify, just like Jesus Christ said in John chapter 17, this way the world may believe. How's the world going to believe? I'll tell you how the world's going to believe. It'll be a societal earthquake the day the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholics get together as one church under the Magisterium and Petrine office. The world is going to shake in their boots, Reuben.
Yep. Hey, just the last thing he said, woe to you who choose to be the older brother, not the younger brother. You know, I was just thinking about that. And, well, you know, my take is because, you know, in the Bible, the firstborn in biblical times, it appears to have been quite, you know, it's a, like a mixed blessing. On the one hand, firstborn sons receive that double portion of their father's estate, you know, in Deuteronomy 21.
Yeah.
And presumably, you know, all the political and economic power that came with it. And then that explains why, you know, Jacob manipulates Esau's blessings in Genesis 25, and he leverages his brother's hunger to obtain the rights to the family estate. But then, you know, when you look back and, you know, the 12 sons, you know, of Jacob
and
Joseph was the youngest, and he ends up being, you know, being
the savior of all the brothers.
Yep, because the older ones, they want to do it by force. They want to, you know, the younger ones, you know, even like King David, they were after God's own heart, and they were just basically what I'm saying is the older is going to serve the younger. So he's saying you choose to be the older, well, you're going to serve the younger, because we saw that in the Bible. And
yes, what do you think this bishop is saying when he said that? What do you think he's saying? He could be actually making an allusion to the Catholic Church. You guys are the older, okay? You guys have the Petrine office. You guys have the Holy See of Rome. But the younger is going to teach you what to do. Orthodox that went into schism back in 1054. I don't know what, maybe that's, to me, that's kind of maybe what he meant. I'm not sure. What do you think?
It could be that. I didn't even think about that, but it's like these people that are trying to bully us. They're trying to be the big brother and bully us instead of being the righteous brother, the one who's got a good heart, the one that's in love with Jesus Christ, the one that's, you know, he's here to help people and not the other way around.
So he could be taking a shot at the government also, because we know government comes from God, but we're talking about wicked governments right now that are in place. We have Marxist governments all over the world. And I'll tell you, this man's powerful voice is a breath of fresh air, although he's not part of the Catholic Church. He's very close to us. I mean, the Orthodox are about 99% Catholic. But I hope that his voice is heard all over the world, because he's speaking the truth to power, and he's talking about these evil Australian politicians. And kudos to this Orthodox bishop for his courage, for his faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and for standing up to these political overlords abusing their government authority.
That's right. And we our priests and our bishops need to take an example from this.
Yeah, take a little bishop. Yeah, take a little lesson. Take a sheet of paper and write down and start taking some notes, because this is the type of preaching that we need to be hearing right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, so if we just continue to let them impose their will on us, then before we know it, we're not going to have any...
We'll be in boxcars, Reuben, and we'll be in FEMA camps. I'm serious. Yeah. I know you're chuckling, yeah. But...
No, it's true.
That will happen if we just keep laying down and playing dead. We must resist.
Yep, and there's FEMA camps already set up all across the nation. You know, a good friend of mine had just he showed me the maps that are out there, and they're unfortunately they're in a lot of the red states too. Jesse, Tennessee, and
yeah,
some others.
They're all over. Yeah, Reuben, they're all over. These guys spread like cancer.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to move on to another topic about Larry Elder and Gavin Newsom, but we're going to try to play a clip, if you can get it, Reuben, ready for the next segment, on Larry Elder and his relationship with his father. Let's see if we can get that for the next, to begin the third segment.
Okay.
Jesus 911, two-man car, I'm back, Jess Romero. I'm like Lazarus raised from the dead. We'll continue talking about the government's race over in California. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And Jesse, we're going to be talking about Larry Elder, because in California we have a very important election coming up. It's a recall on our governor, who has really just brought the Golden State down. It's no longer the Golden State. And we have a number of conservatives that are running, but the one big name that looks like he's leading in the polls in terms of from the conservative side is Larry Elder. He's a talk show host that's you and I have been listening to for 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people say, well, he's not Catholic. Well, you know, look at some of our Catholic politicians. Look what they've done. So he's a person of goodwill. He's pro-life.
Ruben, this is important. This is an important point you just mentioned. In the Douay Rheims Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, I'll quote it, it says that God said peace to men of goodwill. Okay, that's in the Douay Rheims Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. And God said peace to all men of goodwill. Larry Elder is a man of goodwill. What does that mean? That means, Ruben, just like you and I, he's a seeker of truth. Now, you and I have an advantage because we have found the fullness of truth, Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Amen.
But Larry Elder, again, people like him and other people of goodwill, you know, Mike Huckabee, they're tracking in that direction. They're trying to find the fullness of truth. They found Christ, but they haven't found his church yet. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean we can't work with these people, because we share a lot of things in common.
That's right. And he was over in Chino Hills a couple of weeks ago. There's a pastor there. It's pretty well known, Pastor Jack Hibbs. He was part of Trump's pastor team, and so he's got an inside up in Washington. What he did under the last administration. So I've been there twice to see Charlie Kirk, who we heard on the first segment. Mm. And he had Larry Elder there. I saw it on YouTube. It was a great interview. And there was one part of it at the end where Larry tells his story about his relationship with his father. He didn't have a very good relationship as a young boy and growing up. And you got to hear how the story of forgiveness and redemption just shows you the man that Larry has become as a result of his father. And let's go ahead and play the clip, and then we'll get into the rest of the.
Yes.
Yeah. My father and I had a horrible relationship, and I thought it was my dad. He was mean. I thought he spanked us too often. By us, I'm talking about myself and my two brothers. Unfortunately, when I'm 10 years old, my dad starts a little cafe, and I have to start working for him. I didn't like working for him either, because I thought he was mean. I thought he yelled at me too much. And now I'm 15 years old, and when I say cafe, I'm talking about a little bitty diner where everybody can watch and hear everything. So now I'm 15 years old, and he's yelling at me. It's embarrassing. So I told myself, the next time he yells at me, I'm going to walk out. So I finally summoned the nerve to do that. I walked out. The waitress had called in sick that day, and I walked out during rush hour between 11:30 and 1, when we were the busiest. And so my father came home that night, and he was furious. And he said to me, why did you leave? And for the first time, I spoke back to my father. And I said, Dad, I got sick and tired of the way you spoke to me, and I wasn't going to put up with it anymore. My father paid me $10 a day, Pastor Jack, plus tips. I was laying on my bed. He threw the $10 at me. He walked out of my bedroom, and my father and I did not speak to each other for 10 years. And when I say did not speak to each other for 10 years, I mean not even, do you think it's going to rain? How about those Rams? What about the Dodgers? Nothing. Fast forward now, I'm 25 years old, and I'm living in Ohio, and I've just passed the California bar, the Ohio bar. I was working for a very large law firm, and my salary, translated to today's dollars, was around $150K, I'm 25 years old, I should be living large, but I can't sleep. And I knew it had to do with my dad. Not that I ever thought we'd be friends. In fact, I didn't want to be friends, but I figured I should say something to him, he should say something to me so I could sleep. I come back to, I call my secretary and I told her to cancel all my appointments, I'm coming to LA, and I didn't tell my parents I was coming. I go from LAX to the restaurant. My dad was shocked to see me, of course. I walk in, I had a big luggage with me, and he said, Larry, should I put your luggage? I said, no, Dad, I'm only going to be here for 5 or 10 minutes. I want to tell you something. He said, wait till we close. I knew we closed at 2:30. It was 1:30. So I sat there for an hour, and I said, Larry, don't tee off on him. Don't tell him everything he's ever done. When he sits down, just give him the cliff notes. So my dad sat down, and I teed off on him. I spoke for 20 minutes nonstop. I told him every whipping, every spanking, everything he'd ever done to me, everything he'd ever said to me that bothered me. Finally, I was spent. I had no more ammo. My dad looked up and he said, is that it? You didn't speak to me for 10 years because of that? And he said, let me tell you about my father. Now, I should pause here. I knew nothing about my dad's life. I didn't really care. I didn't really like him. I mean, I knew he was an only child because we never got any Christmas presents. But aside from that, I knew nothing about him. And for the first time, I saw my father cry. He said, let me tell you about my father. You know your last name, Elder? I said, yes. He said, that's not my father. I said, really? Who's your father? I have no idea. I never met him. Who's Elder? Elder was an abusive man, an alcoholic who lived in my life the longest. My mother was irresponsible. She lived off a bunch of men, each one more irresponsible than the one before. I came home from at the age of 13. I began quarreling with my mom's then boyfriend. She sides with the boyfriend, and I was kicked out of the house, never to return. Athens, Georgia, Jim Crow South, at the beginning of the Great Depression, a little black boy. And for the next 8 hours, the man told me about his life. I said, Dad, what did you do? Walked down the road, picked up trash, I did this, I did that. Ultimately, I became a Pullman porter in the trains, came out to California on a run. And I thought maybe someday I might live out there because it seemed more friendly. You could walk in the front door and get served, unlike the South. Pearl Harbor, my dad joined the Marines. I said, why the Marines? Any Marines? And you know what I'm gonna say? My dad said two reasons. The first is, they go where the action is. The second is, I love the uniforms. War is over. My dad comes back to Chattanooga where he met and married my mom to get him a job as a cook. He was a staff sergeant cooking for the colored soldiers in the military, and no one would give him a job and said, we don't hire N-words to his face. He says to my mom, this is ridiculous. I'm coming to L.A., where I was before the war, get me a job as a cook. Comes out here, and they tell him he needs references. My dad said, I need references to make ham and eggs. Went to an unemployment office, just one door. And the lady says, I have nothing. My dad says, what time do you open? She says, 9. What time do you close? She says, 5. My dad sat in a chair for a whole day. And another day, another half a day, she calls him up. I've got something for you. I'm not sure whether or not you're going to want it. My dad said, of course I'm going to want it. I'm starting a family. What is it? She says, it's a job cleaning toilets at Nabisco brand bread. My dad did that for 10 years. Took a second full-time job at another bread company cleaning toilets called Barbara Ann Bread. Cooked for a family on the weekends to make additional money, and went to night school 2 or 3 nights a week to get his GED. The man never slept. That was why he was so cranky all the time.
Putting it nicely.
Pastor, if I don't get 4 or 5 hours, you don't want to be around me. He got 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes here, not just day after day, not just week after week, not month after month, but year after year after year. You do that, and you walk into a household full of 3 rambunctious boys, how are you going to feel? So as my dad was telling me this story, over the course of 8 hours, the man got bigger and bigger and bigger, and Larry got smaller and smaller and smaller. Wow. And now I'm crying. And I said, Father, please forgive me for judging you this way. And my dad said, don't worry about it. Just follow the advice I've always given you and your brothers. Hard work wins.
Yeah. Wow.
He said, you get out of life what you put into it. You cannot control the outcome, but you are 100% in control of the effort. And before you moan and groan about what somebody did to you or said to you, go to the nearest mirror, look at it, and say, what could I have done to change the outcome? And finally he said, no matter how hard you work, how good you are, sooner or later bad things are going to happen. How you respond to those bad things will tell your mother and me if we raised a man.
Wow, amazing. Exactly what families need to hear.
And Pastor, from that point on, from that moment on, my dad and I were the best of friends. We had 35 wonderful years together. He lived to be 95 years old.
Wow.
Lifelong Republican. And he said this about the Democratic Party. Democrats want to give you something for nothing. And when you try and get something for nothing, you almost always end up getting nothing for something.
That's good. That's good.
Hey, love that. I love that ending. You know, what you work for, and you can't control what the outcome sometimes, but you can control 100% of the effort you put into it. So, yeah, that's
Ruben. He's also talking about something which is a national problem that he has a very clear understanding about, and this is the lack of fathers in Black households. He has an acute understanding of this in the last book that he wrote. And in fact, in that book, he also quotes Barack Obama. They say exactly the same thing about the problem in the Black community, where 70% of Black kids are born outside of wedlock. And in some Black communities, like Southeast Washington, D.C., it's a staggering 84% of Black kids live in homes without a father. Larry Elder is acutely aware of the problem, and he knows that in part, this problem was started by the Great Society, the New Deal, welfare reform. Because what that did, in fact, it did this to the barrios too, to the Latino communities.
Right.
It made men irresponsible because they're saying, yeah, you know what, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. If I get this woman pregnant, the government will take care of her and the child, and I can walk away and continue on with my life. So what welfare's done, it's turned the ghettos and the barrios into what's called matriarchal societies. And you know that, Ruben, because you worked in the barrio most of your life.
Yep.
Where you see on the 1st and the 15th, women with curlers on their hair and with their vatas, you know, with their their bathrobes, walking down the street to the mailbox to get their check. And what do you see? You see a lack of fathers in a lot of these barrios and ghettos because they've become irresponsible men.
Yep.
They've said, let Uncle Sam take care of this woman. I'm going to move on to another. Larry Elder is acutely aware of the problem of what's destroying California, and he's in a key position to remedy and fix the problem.
Right. I think we need to rally around him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not to split the votes.
All right, man.
We'll be right back. Talking more about the upcoming election.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause, Isaiah 117.
Amen.
Amen. So,
yeah, Old and New Testament, one of the things that we are called to do, we're called to look after the widows and orphans. In both testaments, God places a high premium on that. Ruben, there's a friend of mine. His name's Fred Martinez. He writes for the Catholic Monitor. He wrote an article kind of juxtaposing Gavin Newsom and Larry Elder. Let me just look at some of the salient points here in the article. He says this. The award-winning novelist and journalist Roger Simon said that the pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, Larry Elder, attended South Central's Crenshaw High, which is one of the worst slum schools in California. Meanwhile, the pro-Gavin Newsom media is attacking Larry Elder for lacking values. But just what are those California values everyone is supposed to hold so dear, Newsom was speaking about? And they are in the process of changing or going back to something from years ago that was lost. In a sense, the current governor, Gavin Newsom, and the editor of the state's most prominent paper are correct. This recall election is about values. But they are the values of a rich class that has for years and years sent their kids to private schools while they, at the insistence of all-powerful teachers' unions, deny poor minority children school choice, and forced them into schools like the one Larry Elder attended years back in South Central Crenshaw High, from which just recently but 2% of students passed a basic math proficiency test. So, are those California values reflected in the slimy elitist Newsom being an apparent puppet of oil heir Gordon Getty, having had an affair with his appointment secretary, who was married to one of his top political aides and best friend, and who apparently was a scandalous public drunk, this is Gavin Newsom, yeah, and who led everyone believe that he was going into legitimate alcohol rehab, but he never went. In fact, the Sacramento Bee gave a brief summary of Gavin Newsom's white male privilege, class privilege, wealth privilege before he ran against Larry Elder. Check this out. The Sacramento Bee says about Gavin Newsom, he has white male privilege, he has class privilege, he has wealth privilege, and he has the privilege of good looks. All of this creates a Teflon exterior protecting Gavin Newsom's horrendous lapses of judgment and character, excusing his questionable background. It is simply accepted without eliciting the negative scrutiny that would dog or even derail lesser mortals. The point is that they're saying he checks all the boxes, Ruben, that makes him basically Teflon. You cannot criticize him. He's the perfect white male, tall, good-looking, wealthy, class privilege. He checks all the boxes with the liberal class in this country. And so there's nothing you can say that to criticize him because he's insulated from criticism. Ruben?
Hey, Jess, you know, I just thought it was funny that his former wife, she went conservative on him. You know, she got sick of his nonsense. She's dating Donald Trump Jr., you know. That's quite a switch.
I've seen them at rallies together. Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, so he was messing around with one of his best friend's wife who happened to work for him, and he thought nothing of it. And this was a top political aide and his best friend. So who does that? And
so all he said, oh, I'm having drinking problems. Let me check into a rehab. Yeah. And by the way, he never did.
No. But recently, on the flip side, the LA Times was trying to smear Larry Elder on some case, an ex-girlfriend of his, who was saying that he pulled a gun. And this was like in 2015, and he apparently, she said that he pulled his gun out to check it. He never said he pointed it at her, but he checked it to see if it was loaded. And then on a previous time, they said he pushed her. Well, the DA is just on the 31st, I guess just yesterday or 2 days ago, threw the case out because it's no merit. Besides, there were misdemeanors. It would have been a misdemeanor at the most, and the statute of limitations is out. You've got a year to bring that up. So, you know, it sounds like someone was crying, you know, spilled milk, and now that he's in the fight, this story has resurfaced. So
they are grabbing for straws, Ruben, because they never thought that again, this guy that checks off all the boxes, Gavin Newsom, that some lowly, you know, conservative Republican would ever mount a substantial campaign against him and actually maybe even dethrone him. So they're throwing everything at Larry Elder, the LA Times and the Sacramento Bee. They're throwing everything at him but the kitchen sink.
Yeah. They almost didn't allow him to get on the ballot. He had to go to court and get attorneys to fight because they were claiming that he didn't feel it outright. And so the judge threw that out, and he's obviously in the fight now. And his title has always been the Sage from South Central. You know, that's how he would introduce himself on the radio show, the Sage from South Central. And although South Central, we can't use that term anymore. By the way, it's derogatory now.
Is it? I didn't know that. One of those terms that can't be used anymore.
That's right. They can't say that. The sheriff's department, they can't even. Yeah, they can't call that area. You know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, a good thing, Ruben, and I'm praying for this, and I've actually chipped some money to his campaign, LecLarryElder.com, LecLarryElder.com. I live here in Arizona, but I care about what happens in California because I have a lot of good friends like yourself, my family on both sides live out there. And so I have a dog in the fight. What I would say is this, if Larry Elder wins, and it's a good possibility, just let everybody who's listening to this radio show that me and Ruben and Terry Barber are endorsing Larry Elder. We're giving him the highest endorsements in case you're wondering where we stand on this issue. Hands down, he should be the next governor of California. But I will tell you one thing, Ruben, if he does win, he's going to have an ally immediately with Sheriff Villanueva. It seems to me as if Sheriff Alex Villanueva has taken the red pill, and he's talking completely different than the way he ran for sheriff several years ago. He's completely flipped like a pancake.
How so?
Well, Ruben, because he's seen what Democrat policies and Democrat governance has done to the great state, specifically what affects him, Los Angeles County, as the sheriff. And so as I hear him talking, I've seen him on Newsmax, I've seen him on Fox News. This is like anathema for a liberal politician to come out on those networks. And he's talking just like Larry Elder about the problems of homelessness, the problems of defunding the police, the problems of letting convicts out early from prison, the skyrocketing crime rate. I'm telling you, Larry Elder is going to have an ally with Sheriff Villanueva because both of them are looking at the problem and they're assessing it correctly.
Yeah, you're right. And that's good because we do have a horrendous homeless problem. I think we have more homeless here in California than all of any state in the United States. And it's uncalled for. And it's like you said, letting out people out of jail early, not reducing the crimes for narcotics and burglaries and thefts. And so there's no repercussions. These guys just, you know, they go out there and they prey on the weak and, or, you know, on women and children. And they continue with their addictions, and the streets are horrendous. You know, you can't even go walk down the streets of LA because not to mention the stench, but also because you don't know, some of these people, they're whacked out on their dope, and a lot of them have mental issues, and you just want to put your family around that. So
let's just be honest, Ruben, most people don't carry a gun like you and you know, your beautiful wife Debbie. It's dangerous to live in LA County and not being able to carry a gun and walk in the streets out there.
Yeah.
You're taking your life in your own hands. But going back, Ruben, I want to mention something about Gavin Newsom. Every time I listen to him speak, I mean, if you look up the word arrogance or hubris in the dictionary, you'd see his picture there. He's condescending. Every time I see him talk on television, he talks down to people. He talks down to Californians. He talks like he's a dictator, like he's a king. Every time you hear Larry Elder talk, you can hear the voice of reason, the voice of logic, the voice of empathy for a state that he loves. This is apples and oranges. Gavin Newsom must go, this apostate Catholic. And I'm telling you, the greatest thing that can happen in our lifetime to California is to have Larry Elder become the next governor.
Yeah. You know, people don't know this, but he's tied in with the Nancy Pelosi family, with the Brown family, and the Getty family.
And by the way, George Soros just dropped them $500,000 this week.
Jeez, Louise. Okay, and so that, going back to that, the secretary that he had an affair with, they somehow landed a $10,000 payout to her from public money from a fund intended for city employees with catastrophic and life threatening illnesses. So they said that that there were cases in which city employees were denied participation in the program for substance abuse, unaccompanied by a life-threatening illness. But yet they gave this lady 10 grand to shut her up and let her go off into the sunset. So this is a guy who's evil, he's corrupt, and you saw him during the closures. He was having when we're all in masks, and he's having a dinner in a swanky restaurant with all his buddies and no masks on. His restaurant and his place up in Napa was allowed to stay open when other restaurants were closed. So he's all about himself. So we need to replace him, and it's really important to get behind one man, and we're endorsing Larry Elder, and
amen.
We don't want to split the vote. So.
Hey, the words of St. Padre Pio, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Minowas Command Center. Ruben and myself, we are EOW, end of watch. We're 10-7. We're out.
Keep the faith.